Welcome to B2B Podcast Stories, brought to you by GH Marketing. Our guest today is Michael Lodge, an entrepreneurial leader with over 17 years of international B2B experience. Michael has demonstrated a deep understanding of the intricacies of the tech landscape and a passion for delivering valuable insights to audiences worldwide. Today, expect to learn the importance of engaging speakers in podcasting to articulate complex tech topics for better audience comprehension, explore the high returns on investment offered by podcasts, and why focusing on producing great quality content is more effective than prioritizing quantity. Discover the challenges involved in transitioning from a traditional print media to digital content creator, and much more. Before we begin, please remember to subscribe wherever you listen to this podcast. And if you're there, please leave us a review. 5 stars do amazing things for the podcast. And we're going to keep bringing you gurus in the podcast industries to explain to you all the different ways you can use your podcast to help and grow your business. And with that, here's Michael Lodge.
Michael, thank you so much for coming on the Podcast Gurus podcast. We're going to talk today about the EM360 podcast and your company and your advice to podcasters. So it's a bit particular because we tend to interview podcast hosts mainly. And although you do have that experience, you're also more like the founder and CEO of EM360 Tech. So maybe we can start with the podcast in itself. Can you tell me a bit about the EM360 podcast? What is it? What do you guys do?
Yeah, great to be talking to you, Guillaume, and thanks for the time. Pleasure to be on the chat. So EM360 podcast is a series of podcast discussions that we produce and distribute, aim to educate, inform and engage with enterprise IT and business leaders, covering all topics, all IT and business related topics, from AI to cybersecurity to data management, infrastructure management, and emerging technologies that are helping to shape and align IT with overall business strategies at the enterprise level. So our podcasts are designed to really educate end users as to some of the best practices from industry leaders.
So it's a bit of a particular one, this one, because usually how we like to structure these interviews is to go through the podcast and then chat the business. Here, I feel and I know that the two are very, very linked. So can you maybe just give us a quick overview of what is EM360 Tech, and we can start making the link between the podcast and the company itself?
Yeah, so EM360 Tech is a online content platform. We produce primarily podcasts, which we just touched upon, but also reports, articles, news, analysis of everything to do with enterprise tech, everything to do with how enterprise tech is evolving in the business landscape. We talk about the movers, the shakers. We work very closely with leading industry analysts who work with us on producing amazing content. And we produce the content with one real key focus, which is to provide users with the right information at the right time in order to make informed educational decisions on their enterprise IT strategies.
Love that. So when you do so, can you walk us through what's the hosting strategy with EM360 podcast?
Can you just maybe clarify what do you mean by the hosting strategy?
So I know for a fact that it's not always the same host, for instance. You guys have different people being interviewed, obviously, but you also have different hosts. So why is that?
We do, absolutely. So we do have our podcast host, Paulina Reyes Meyer, who's our expert podcast host that does a number of the podcasts. But our business model is a little bit different, in that we like to invite leading industry experts, analysts, to moderate podcasts and invite on those podcasts vendors that specialize in a particular area. So the analyst is very much, if you like, the host in terms of the expert in the topic area. He's independent. He provides independent thought leadership. He's not biased in any way. But then we also have vendors and end users who participate, so that we are not only getting an analyst perspective in terms of how the market is moving, how the market is shaping, but also a vendor perspective or an end user perspective. And that way, our listeners get a more holistic view, a more 360 overview of a particular topic, as opposed to, you know, listening to someone just from EM 360. So the analysts that we work with, people like Eric Cole, Richard Steinen, Lionfish Tech Advisors, a lot of them are very highly respected individuals within their respective field.
Why did you start the podcast to begin with? What was the idea when you launched it?
So that's a really good question, Guillaume. We did our first podcast, believe it or not, in 2008.
All right.
Well, before anyone knew what a podcast was, we were recording podcasts in a more simplistic manner. We were using, obviously, a video conferencing tool, or it was just a very much a over the phone call, which we recorded, and then we edited that call or that video call or that telephone call. We edited it into a 15-minute discussion, which we then hosted on our website. So what we're doing now, obviously, we've progressed and the industry has progressed, but in 2008, when we did our first podcast, it was very much new. And we did it then because we felt that people were on the move all the time. People had smartphones back then. Of course, you know that the iPhone was already out. So we felt that people wanted to, MP3s were out. People were listening to a lot more audio content. And so we decided, you know what, let's go move away from the written interviews and go into more audio format interviews where people can listen on demand, on the go.
Wow. So how long did it take for you to see kind of enthusiasm around the podcast? Because back then, 2008, I mean, that's more than 15 years ago. It's like podcast wasn't even a thing, as you said. So how do you create inertia to get people to listen to you? How do you build that audience and say, hey guys, you can actually, YouTube is great, starting to ramp up, but hey, you can actually also listen to us on podcast. How do you make that bold move a profitable one?
Well, I think what made it easier for us was that the market was going digital anyway, right? People were becoming more savvy. People were becoming, remote or bring your own device was becoming a fashionable term. So the market conditions made it quite easy for us to transition from this sort of print interview format to the a podcast interview format. Now, of course, trying to explain to someone at that time, you know, what is a podcast or how's it going to work was quite difficult. They just couldn't seem to understand, okay, so who's going to listen to this thing? Where are they going to listen to it? So it was a matter of a little bit of education that, look, you know, it's a sound file. We had to describe it as a sound file at that time. It's a sound file that people can download, that they can then listen to, a bit like, downloading a soundtrack or an album from your favorite artist. It was the same format. So it was, you know, educating them as to the benefits of the sound file, as it was, as we called it, the recorded interview, and letting them know that people can then listen to it wherever they are, whenever they want, and it's not in a magazine that will just sit on someone's desk in a written format. And as soon as, you know, especially in our industry where we're dealing a lot with tech companies, that resonated quite easily with them because they were already very, very tech savvy and they understood tech and understood the evolving nature of technology. So it made our life a little bit easier to obviously record those podcasts.
I'm gonna quote you to you, Michael. In one of the information that we can find out there, you say, I love to connect with people. So if you're a tech, online or digital enthusiast, have a passion for technology and media, love sport, dislike Manchester City, have a love for animals, or wish to discuss an opportunity, then drop me a line. How do you see podcasting as a networking tool? Was it something you deliberately had in mind as well, or is it something that Canada towards, or was it not even a consideration?
Yeah, I look, again, when we started off as magazine publishers, first of all, it became expensive to publish magazines. It became expensive to distribute those magazines globally. And it was, the industry was sort of like, not, I wouldn't say dying, but it needed change. It needed evolution, right? Now, when you, as a company, and especially in the industry that we're dealing with, where you are talking about a topic that's quite complex, we're talking about, AI, we're talking about cybersecurity, data management. When you have a great speaker and that speaker can articulate what a company does, how a company approaches implementing a piece of technology or talking about their technology, you will find that it's much more digestible, it's much more understandable when you're listening to that person talk, and more importantly, when you're actually able to see the person talk as well, depending on how engaging they are. Now, it's not for everyone, right? Podcasts are not for everyone. Some people are really boring, and you'll switch off, right? They have no enthusiasm, or they have no character. And when we record our podcasts, we always make sure to tell the companies that we're doing the podcast with, please ensure that you have a representative that has done podcasts or is familiar with podcasts or has done public speaking events, seminars, and so on, so that they can come across and what they're talking about is understandable, is relatable, is digestible, and is engageable.
I love that. So did you have boring guests, Michael? Did it already happen?
I'm sure we've had a few in our time, but look, if you want your podcast,
I named them.
if you want a podcast to be listened to, then it needs to be exciting and engaging.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. And actually, the retention rate for a podcast episode plays a huge role into the algorithm of those podcast platforms that will eventually, well, push your content further to more people, right? Because if people listen to 70-80% of it rather than 20%, then it's worthwhile content. It would make people stay on your platform, and so therefore they would push it further. So couldn't agree more with that. Do you still distribute physical magazines?
We don't. We stopped all print. We've become a paper-free office. We don't have any paper in the office. We don't do any form of in-house printing. Everything is done online. We try to be as carbon neutral as possible, as environmentally free as possible. And so paper is a forbidden item in our office, both in the UK and in the US.
Okay, that's quite the mission, but makes sense. So what's the place of the podcast within EM360 Tech? Is it just a thought leadership tool, or does it have other dimensions as well?
The primary focus is thought leadership, right? The aim goal or the mission, if you like, of EM360 is to provide end users, business leaders, with the information they want and when they need it. And we want to try to give them that information in the easiest possible formats, whether it's podcasts, webinars, news, articles, analysis, reports. Our job is to provide senior level IT decision makers with the information they want when they need it. And at the same time, provide tech companies, if you like, vendors or tech solution providers with a platform to talk about their offerings, to talk about their solutions, and be able to get in front of potential buyers of their solutions as well. So we try to cater for you know, two different sort of segments. One is the end users, to provide them with good quality content and information and resources. And the other side is the solution providers who need to produce good quality content, who need to get in front of that audience. And we are, if you like, that bridge that brings the two together.
So that's, if I understand correctly, that's part of your offer with vendors and potential clients to say, hey, by the way, we have also this channel that can be leveraged. There is this audience. We can, in the spirit of still doing thought leadership, right? It needs to be the primary focus of a podcast episode, like value to the industry first. But then you can integrate this as a media kind of in some offerings.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, Guillaume, as well as I do, that content is now king, right? And content has been king for many, many, many years. More so in the digital age than ever. And over the last decade, EM360 has grown its worldwide audience of subscribers to over 600,000 engaged, active decision makers across Europe and North America. Podcasts at the moment gives one of the highest returns for tech solution providers, around 768% return on investment when it comes to creating content. The second thing that gives, I guess, tech company or marketers within tech companies a great return is thought leadership content, which gives around 528% return on investment, right? And those are the two things that we focus on, to give end users the information they want, whether it's in podcast format or reports or articles and analyst insight, but also to give vendor companies a platform to reach that audience through podcasts, through thought leadership content, and by doing so, maximize their return on investment.
So that's crazy. Where do you get the 768% ROI for tech providers on podcasts? Like, where do you get that metric from?
Yeah, so that's from Nielsen Research. So if you look at, they did a poll of, I think it was over 1,000 tech B2B tech marketers. And the response, the general feedback has been that podcasts and thought leadership give the highest return on investment in terms of marketing spend. Events, newsletters, PR, and so on, whilst they give a return, it's nowhere near what they're getting in terms of thought leadership content and podcasts.
That's absolutely amazing, and that is a stat that I will reuse 200%. I'll try to find the link to that poll.
Yeah, I would. In fact, what I'll do is I will actually, if you like, send you a link to that research so that you can obviously use it as well. But it's a very, very powerful statement, and we are finding that, you know, people are engaging in podcasts more and more and more. And you only have to look at, not just in B2B, even if you look at B2C, you'll see that those figures are almost similar as well.
That's absolutely impressive. So what other channels do you have at EM360, Michael? And what are the pros and cons of podcasting that you see compared to those other channels?
Sorry, can you just repeat that question?
Sure. So what are the other channels that you leverage at EM360? The first thing I'm thinking about, obviously, is a website, right? You have a website where people can go and read articles. What are the other channels that you have? Because you're using the podcast in a very specific way, which is super interesting. I'm also interested in seeing, okay, what are the other channels that you've identified as worthy of time and investment? And what are the pros and cons that you see with the podcasting world that you don't see in those other channels, for instance?
Yeah, so look, as much as possible, Guillaume, we try to contain our podcast on our own platform, right? Because we want clients to not just listen to the podcast, but from listening to that podcast, listen to further or read further information on that particular topic. But we are distributing our podcast across multiple different channels, from Spotify to Apple Music and so on, to give our the podcast the maximum amount of exposure possible. Do we see massive benefits, or massive visibility from it? Unfortunately, whilst Spotify and Apple do give some stats, what they don't give is who is actually listening to those podcasts, right? Who that person is, where they're located. And those are vital stats that we can get from our website, right? That we cannot get on the other websites, right? And there are reasons for that. GDPR is obviously one of them. Data protection laws and so on. So whilst we distribute across different channels, across different multiple, 15 different platforms, in fact, outside of em360tech.com, we really want to try to keep the content as much as possible on our own website. And by doing so, we're able to then ensure that the user or the subscriber can get further information. And not just get further information, can actually connect with other users on the website as well. A little bit like LinkedIn, if you like.
Yeah. The attribution is the great nightmare of marketers when it comes to podcast. So, what do you, out of curiosity, what's the strategy to drive all that traffic towards your website, Michael? You who have seen like that much in the space, how do you make sure that everything links to? All roads lead to EM360 instead of Rome in this case. How do you manage that?
It's tough. It's very difficult. Obviously, we are, whilst we've been around for a number of years, we're very niche and boutique in terms of what we do. We're competing with very much larger companies than us. But what we focus on is great, not good quality content, great quality content. And we focus on making sure that this great quality content is produced with great analysts, influencers that are driving the market forward, analysts that are shaping and advising the enterprise on the next phase of technology. So we not only produce great quality content, we partner with great partners, and those great partners in turn help us to share their content, distribute the content, and through that strategic partnership that we have, which is a win-win, we're able to then generate the right audience. So we're not looking for, quantity. Rather, we prefer quality audience going to our website, and instead of just, quantity. I'd rather have quality over quantity.
Makes a lot of sense. Actually, speaking of which, I'd like to discuss a bit the format of your podcast, Michael, because you have a very interesting A, publishing schedule, and B, typical length of episode. So you seem to be keeping the episode around the 20-25 minutes mark, and you're publishing almost every day, if not every other day. What led to that kind of approach, and what are the benefits you see from it? Rather than, I don't know, publishing a 40-minute episode every other week, for instance, like other podcasts.
Sure. So we publish around anywhere from, I would say, 12 to 15 pieces of content a week. Not all of them are podcasts, but certainly 12 to 15 pieces of content. The content that, in terms of the podcast, and we try to keep it 25 minutes, is a couple of reasons. One is the sector that we're in. We're not selling, or the partners that we're working with, or the clients that we work with. We're not describing a pair of trainers. We're not talking about an item of clothing. We're talking about a piece of technology that costs hundreds, if not millions, of dollars to implement across an enterprise. And therefore, you need to not just talk about the technology benefits of what that piece of equipment gives a company, but you've got to talk about the business benefits. And when you're talking about IT, IT is not a standalone word. IT has to work synonymously and in synergy with business, right? And what we want to do is try to align IT with overall business strategy. So the podcast, you cannot discuss that in a 10-minute podcast. You've got to give it, it's got to be long enough to talk about the technology and business benefits, but short enough that people don't switch off. And 40 minutes is too long, 10 minutes is too short, 20, 25 minutes is just right and digestible.
That puts these episodes in a challenge because we're already 25 minutes in. But hopefully it stays entertaining and insightful. So how would you recommend people to approach podcasting, Michael? And I'm asking that in the sense of, if we take the 768% ROI, for instance, is it about appearing on podcast? Is it about launching one? What would you recommend people who want to get into podcasting to do exactly?
Yeah, so look, it's not just about the return on investment. That return on investment is applicable to our industry, what we're talking about. It's not applicable to all industries. It's applicable to the marketing tech industry. And what I would suggest, if you're looking to launch a podcast or if you already have a podcast, is make sure that you choose a topic. First of all, a clear topic for your podcast, a topic that you have an audience for, and more importantly, you can get great speakers for. A podcast is only as good as the host, is only as good as the guest that you have on it. And if the content is engaging, if the topics are engaging, if you come up with the podcast episode ideas, maybe record two or three demo podcast episodes just to see how they pan out, and create a brand for your podcast, a niche for your podcast, and make sure that the agenda is created for that niche audience.
What has been your biggest challenge in podcasting, Michael? And I think you have a long way. You come from a long way, starting in 2008. What have you seen as being the biggest challenge you ever faced, and how did you solve it?
Oh, that's a great question. There's been lots of challenges, a lot of challenges. The first one, obviously, I would say there's been a few. Transitioning from print to digital was a big challenge. And then getting our audience to move away from the magazines and engage more in the content. And we had to start from scratch. I think that would be the biggest challenge, was when we had to essentially start from scratch. Because whilst we had a magazine subscription database, we did not have an online subscription database. We had to build that from scratch. We had to build it from ground zero. And to do that, we had to scrap everything we did on the print side and say, right, effectively, we got to just build this thing from new. We rebranded the EM360 logo. We had to really struggle hard to find partners, analyst partners, or for lack of a better word, influencers that were willing to work with us on podcasts, because again, they were very much used to or a program to do everything in written format, in paper format. So trying to encourage them to move digital and do podcasts with us was a challenge. And I think perseverance, or if anything, was the way we overcame it. Perseverance and patience. We had to be patient because not everyone understood the importance of, at that time, how audio interviews and how audio podcasts were going to change how people digest content. And perseverance, because we had to persevere and we had to stick to our plan and not move away from that plan because, not everyone liked what we had to say. We believed what we had was going to work. We believed what we were doing was the way forward. And therefore, we had to be patient and we had to persevere with that plan. And, you know, after a few years, it eventually paid off. But, Guillaume, every day, every single day, we learn something new. Every single day, we learn something that helps us improve the way we are recording podcasts or delivering the content or distributing the content. And it's, you know, you're talking about what was the biggest challenge? I've just explained that to you, but every day is also a challenge because we're constantly learning, constantly evolving, and so therefore constantly challenging ourselves to go to the next level.
I love that. How do you find influencers in tech in an age where Facebook is 4 years old and Instagram is 2 years from being even created? How do you find people to follow you in that new venture in 2008 that you know will have the influence in the market? That I can't even begin to fathom how you do that.
Yeah, well, that I think, to be honest with you, I think that was the easy part. And I'll tell you why. Tech companies, or tech buyers, I should say, tech buyers, you know, you're talking about the HSBCs, the Bank of Americas, the Walmarts, all these big companies that invest heavily in tech will always, always go to an industry analyst to talk about the best way forward. Before they go and invest millions of pounds on a piece of technology, they will always talk to an analyst, or if you like, an influencer, to give them guidance or to give them a snapshot of the market and who the key players are in the market. So we already had identified those key players. We already knew who these analysts were that companies were going to before they invested in technology, right? So we would approach them. And again, you know, we're talking about 15 years ago almost, or more than 15 years ago. And, you know, you're talking now, 2024, influencers are getting paid to promote stories and to promote content. We were paying or we were compensating our analyst partners at 15 years ago to join us on these podcasts. And we were paying a nominal fee for them to sit on the podcast and record a 20-minute session talking about the industry. So, you know, it was easy to identify them. Once we identified them, we told them what we're doing, who this is going to go out to. We paid them a small fee for their time, obviously, because you know, that's their business. And we sold it on the fact that not just that they were getting paid a nominal fee, but more importantly, the way these podcasts were being designed was to get in front of a global audience. There was no restrictions. We're going to push it out on the internet. We're going to get as many eyeballs on it. And for them, it was also a great branding exercise, right? So they were getting exposure branding and getting in front of their clients. And we were getting great sort of influencers or analysts to moderate these podcasts.
I love that. How would you go about finding an influencer in our day and age? Is that, would the approach be different? Like typically, if you want to find a host or an analyst for an episode, how do you do so?
So now it's, you know, it's becoming it's becoming easier because you have you know, the power of the internet at your disposal. But let's say if we want to focus on a core topic, like I don't know. Big data within the banking vertical. Our research team here at EM360 would reach out to the market, typically to the existing partners that we already work with, to find out who within those companies have a leading industry analyst that would like to participate in the podcast. And if we cannot, or if we don't already have an existing partner, we would then source one. Again, very simply, it would be a Google search, you know, in terms of top industry leader on big data. And we would get a list of independent, not vendor specific, They have to be independent, they have to be vendor neutral, and they have to be unbiased. We would source an analyst in that way. And again, given the reach that we have now, it's much easier to have them participate on podcasts than it was back then, because we are relative or much more recognized now than we were 15 years ago. We have a credibility with all the other analysts that we work with. We have a global audience of over 600,000. We work with some of the biggest tech companies in the enterprise market, from SAP to Trend Micro to CrowdStrike to Darktrace to SAS and so on. And so our life is a lot easier in terms of inviting influencers to work with us, because it benefits them as well in terms of the exposure they get.
100%. It's a win-win. That's quite the name dropping, by the way. Michael, I think it was an absolute masterpiece on how to fusion a podcast with the media sphere and the news industry into the enterprise tech. That was like super, super interesting. Last question we ask all our guests is, three podcasts that you listen to that you would recommend to our audience, Michael. What does Michael Lodge listen to on his free time? And you cannot say EM360 podcast, obviously.
Oh, okay. Oh my God. That's a very tough question, I have to say. Okay, so I you know, don't judge me here, please, because it's not for everyone. But I do like the Joe Rogan podcast, which I think is great, is insightful. I think he brings out, it's really engaging. It really is engaging, and I enjoy some of the topics he focuses on. I don't know if you know it or not, it's called The Daily. It's a political podcast by the New York Times. You know, I'm big into the news and everyday politics. Again, not for everyone, but it says what it says on the tin. Puts out great, insightful podcasts, and it's condensed into about not more than 20 minutes. So it's perfect, especially when you're commuting from home to go to work. And I think probably one of my favorite podcasts, and the one I listen to as regularly as I possibly can, is one called The Problem with Jon Stewart. And I don't know if you know Jon Stewart. He was the host of, The Daily Show with Jon Stewart. Do you know it?
I don't. So The Daily Show with Jon Stewart. Is it The Problem with Jon Stewart, or what's the name of the podcast?
No, the podcast is The Problem with Jon Stewart. But
okay,
Jon Stewart did The Daily Show. It was a comedy satire, political comedy satire show. And he's obviously taken it to his podcast and is tackling political problems that are, you know, just, you know, I guess too satirical for TV, or too complex or too nuanced for TV. And it gives a bit of a spin, a bit of a satire to it. They're longer than 20 minutes. I don't listen to it all. But again, a great podcast if you're on the train going home and you want something fun to listen to. The Problem with Jon Stewart is will put a smile on your face. He's a funny guy. Those are the three that I would typically listen to.
Amazing. I will have to give a go at all of those because I mean, Joe Rogan, obviously, right? I don't think anybody will judge you for Joe Rogan, by the way, Michael. It's like literally the most listened to podcast in the world. But yeah, great. I cannot listen to all the episodes because, as you said, it's like, I mean, each of them are at least an hour and a half, and then it's like every day. But there are some just fantastic guests. There are fantastic guests on this thing. But I'll definitely give a go to The Daily and to The Problem with Jon Stewart. Now my curiosity is triggered. Michael, thank you so much for coming on the Podcast Gurus show.
Guillaume, my pleasure. Thank you very much for having me. It was a pleasure speaking to you. And thank you very much for your time. Great discussion.